The Olympics, they're on their way, and we're going to talk about them a little bit today. If you've ever, and in relationship to cross-country skiing, if you've ever cross-country skied like I have, you know, like I have found out, that physically, it's physically taxing. But now imagine skiing with a rifle strapped to your back and stopping to shoot distant targets. That's the sport known as biathlon. And we're talking with now with two biathletes. One, Paul Schomer, is a Wisconsin native now in Italy to compete as a biathlete in his second Winter Olympics. Paul Schomer, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
I really appreciate you taking the time. Also with us today is Chad Selmala, a former U.S. biathlon team member and Paul's first biathlon coach at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota. And Chad, welcome to you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
As we talk with them, I hope you'll join in. Questions about maybe cross-country skiing or maybe biathlon. How do you imagine combining those sports? Give a call. The number 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Paul, what time is it in Italy?
It is currently just after 7:30 p.m. here, so we're 7 hours ahead of you guys.
7 hours ahead. Well, you've been working and training there now for a while. How's it going? How are you spending your time there?
It's going pretty well. Thankfully, we got some fresh snow a couple days ago, which was nice. The valley I'm currently in was looking a little brown. Unfortunately, Central Europe, the part where I've been mostly this winter, isn't having quite the same wintry, cold winter that Wisconsin is having. But all in all, it's been good. I've been over here since October, traveling around, racing to the different locations that the World Cup has been on. And if there's one thing you get to know about biathlon when you ask a biathlete how it's going is if it's going well now, it might not be soon, as it's a very up and down sport. So, definitely just trying to stay focused on the things at hand. But all in all, I feel like the team is in a good spot mentally and physically, and we're just
hoping for some medals. Oh, he froze up.
Yeah,
on
I mean,
his,
always,
oh, go ahead.
I think,
yeah, go ahead,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always hope of winning medals at the Olympics, but through the Olympics for a reason. There's a lot of really good athletes there, and nobody's going to just give them to you. So you got to show up ready to go, and we'll do everything we can. But we also know that there's no guarantees.
So maybe explain the sport itself or the contest, the Olympics part of it. It's an interesting sport for sure. I love watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that I kind of want to start with is like the Olympics are probably the biggest event that we have in our sport. However, biathlon is a sport that competes every single year, and every single year we don't have an Olympics, we have a world championship. So it's a very popular sport in Europe. And as a result of that, it's also a very competitive sport, sometimes known as being one of the most competitive, if not the most competitive sport in Olympics, with the number of athletes represented and how close the field is. But it does combine both cross-country skiing and shooting. The competitions are a race, so the clock starts when you start the race and it ends when you cross the finish line. And during the race, you stop and you shoot at the range. And every time you come into the range, there's five targets. When you hit the target, it turns white. And if you miss it, it stays black, which indicates that you're going to have a penalty. And you either get a time penalty added to your race time, or you have to ski a penalty loop, which results in obviously you having to ski a greater distance and having a greater amount of time on the course. So you really have to balance the ability to ski the course as fast as you possibly can, but also focus and hit all of your targets as efficiently as you possibly can.
It's amazing. Well, Chad, you coached Paul on the Nordic ski team at the College of St. Scholastica, where you still coach. You persuaded him to try biathlon. What made you think he would excel?
Well, he actually came into my office and he had read a book that a friend of mine had written about a young athlete who excelled very quickly in the World Cup level. I think that we both, looking back now, Paul having over a dozen years in the World Cup or about a dozen years competing as a biathlete, that book was probably not a realistic trajectory and time frame. but Paul saw the motivation to discuss it with me. And I was a national team athlete, raced in the World Cup, went to World Championships, never went to an Olympics, but I was coaching there, and he asked me about it. And Paul was a very intense young athlete who knew what he wanted, and we didn't really go out and practice biathlon much while he was there. We did some shooting together. I think it gave him some foundational things to work on, but I could see very quickly that Paul had the probably the best ability of anybody I'd ever seen. I'd done a lot of coaching in a lot of camps with young athletes. I'd never seen anybody start hitting shots on a biathlon target as quickly and as easily as Paul did, and as accurately. It's a sport that takes a lot of time for most people to develop, but Paul was very quick at picking it up. And I was very close to the national team athletes and the coaches at the time, and I said I told them about Paul, and I said they need to get him when he graduates from college.
And they got you.
He did, yeah. Paul was an NCAA. He went to a D3 Division III school with no scholarship money, and we raced against Division I scholarship teams. In his junior year, he was a NCAA All American, eighth overall, and he was only the second American in that field of eight, of that top eight. Everyone else was European.
Oh man! Has the sports, you kind of alluded to the fact that the sport has changed a bit over the time.
Yeah, I mean, I from my perspective, it's just gotten more competitive. It's tighter. There's more talent in the sport every year. More people want to do the sport. There's a whole there's like a minor leagues of the Biathlon World Cup called the IBU Cup, which is kind of like the minors for baseball would be, and that even that is a very competitive level. So it's hard for Paul to reach where he's reached. It's pretty impressive.
You and I gotta go off a bit on your announcing ability. You are a very enthusiastic announcer and analyst of the Nordic ski events for NBC's Olympic coverage. How excited are you to do an on-air analysis with one of your former athletes in the mix?
Well, I've already done it, Larry. I've actually, in Beijing, Paul was, he was in the lead of the mixed relay for a short amount of time, the first event of the Olympic Games. And I got to call his number on the Olympics. That was, I've done that already. Now I just want to have a special moment. Hopefully I can call that as well.
Yeah. And what do you think of the prospects for Paul and the team?
I think Paul's in a really, Paul made the hardest team to ever make for the United States, for sure. He's one of four, and the couple of the guys are leaving. Well, three of the guys are leaving home, all could have stepped in and done a good job. Paul made the team though. And I'm very proud of him for that. I think the fact that he made this team proves that he's probably at the highest level he's ever been, but the team is definitely at a high level. It's hard. I don't want to put pressure in, and Paul knows that I'm not trying to put pressure on him, but I do think this team has the ability to win more than one medal at these games. Biathlon is a thing that you might not win medals when you're favored to win every race. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. It's not an expectation, but this team can come away not only with their first medal, but their second and third medal as well.
Oh man, that sounds wonderful. Well, I'm going to go one more with you. The most exciting call, and I've seen, you know, I'm an old guy, and I've seen many Olympics, and I've spent a lot of time watching the Olympics. And the single most exciting moment for me was your call on the U.S. cross country Olympic skier Jesse Diggins. I will never forget that, watching that in person, and your call of that made it even better than just watching. It was It was the most fantastic call I have ever heard, the most exciting call I have ever heard. And in my mind, it's the number one call I've ever heard by anyone for any sport at the Olympics. So that, here comes Diggins, here comes Diggins.
Man, thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, that was a really, it was a special moment. And I think that obviously that's going to be my marquee call of my career. I don't think you can better that. I've often said you can live two lifetimes and never get an opportunity to call a race under those circumstances in which, first of all, it's a very exciting race. It's the bet you're, it's the, Jesse was up against the winner of the sprint, the individual sprint race just a few days prior at the Olympics. So the gold medalist in the sprint is you're racing her, and she's racing the winner of the last Olympic gold medal from 4 years ago. And she's not supposed to outsprint either of them because she's not a sprinter, and she beats them all. And there was a sleight of hand that she pulled off there that I was carrying within me that didn't really make the moment of the call, but she had rope-a-doped those two athletes. Like, she pulled their sprint out of them, and it was an exciting thing to see. And I sensed that she could do it, but as she was doing it, I couldn't believe it. And I think what everybody got from me was a genuine reaction to what I was seeing, and you know, and in my own mind, not quite believing it myself. You know,
yeah,
it's pretty great.
And I was fortunate to be able to interview her later on. She's a delightful person to talk with at the interview. Tom, and back to biathlon here for let's get back to that for a minute. Tom and McQuantigo has something. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Well, good afternoon, guys. Nice to hear from you guys, and I wish you the best of luck at the Olympics. I was fortunate enough to meet Paul up at Aaron's when they opened up the facility there, mm-hmm. and the rest of the, you know, the biathlon team that had come from, you know, come to do some roller skiing and stuff. And it was just mm-hmm. a lot of fun. One of the things I wanted to ask you guys is I watch a lot of biathlon on like on YouTube, and like the latest round from what was it, Novi Mestro? The crowds were so incredible there in all the races in Europe. It's just a huge sport in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the most popular winter sport. It's definitely the most popular winter Olympic sport, and it's the most popular sport in the winter months. The number of people who tune into biathlon in Germany, in France, and Norway rivals the NFL in not in sheer numbers, but in terms of population to the viewership. It's every big as the NFL is on the American continent. So it's you know, when Paul's over there, people know who Paul is, you know.
But not as much here in the U.S. Paul.
Yeah, not as much. I mean, first off, thanks to him for coming visiting up at Aaron's Nordic Center, which is a really awesome facility back in Northeast Wisconsin, which hopefully will give a lot more athletes the opportunity to try biathlon in the future. But yeah, it's definitely a lot different being in Europe and having biathlon fans who know the sport, are excited about it. But I also think one of the crazy statistics is like more people in the U.S. watch biathlon during the Olympics than most of the other parts of the world. So I think the U.S. has one of the most there's the most potential for growing the sport of biathlon in the U.S. Than a lot of other countries that are already popular. So obviously we hope that success within the sport will help us grow. And just connecting with people because it is an exciting sport. Once you watch it, it is pretty captivating, and it kind of is really connected to some things that really make us all really human through the origins of the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Visiting today with a couple of guys here, Paul Schammer, a biathlete from Appleton, Wisconsin, heading to his second Winter Olympics in Milano, Cortina, Italy, next coming right up. He competed in the 2022 Games. Chad Salmoa is head coach for the cross-country ski team and assistant track coach at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, where he coached Paul Shamer. And questions for them, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. You could email the talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about healthcare sustainability. We'll get an update on the ice fishing season with the founder and president of Wisconsin Women Fish. And then we'll talk about some research on food waste in our state. Right now, though, we're taking a look at the Olympic biathlon with our two guests. Paul Shamer is going to be participating. He's from Appleton. Chad Shalmala is head coach for the cross-country team at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, and coached Paul, and has been how long have you been doing the NBC coverage? You got to be 20 years?
Yeah, 20 years. Hit on the head. I started in Torino in 2006. This will be my 20th year doing it. And I didn't do cross-country and Nordic combined at that Games. I started that in 2010. So since 2010, I've been doing biathlon and cross-country for NBC. So this will be my sixth game doing biathlon and my fifth doing cross-country.
And you've done some announcing for the World Cup, other World Cup races.
Yeah, did one two days ago. I've been on all week, all winter long. I'm calling it from right where I'm sitting here and talking to you. So this is world headquarters for biathlon, famous biathlon commentary.
And Paul, you mentioned, I wanted to ask you about training, and you did mention the Arians Nordic Center in Brilliant, Wisconsin. I mean, what's that center like, and how do you use it in your training, or how have you used it in your training?
Yeah, so I mean, Arians has been a team sponsor of ours. They've worked with us for, I think, ever since 2018 now. So it's been really awesome working with them for the last 8 years, and it's been an awesome partnership. And they went ahead and built a Nordic Center themselves, right in Brilliant, Wisconsin, which has full roller loop, snowmaking, and a 20-point biathlon range, which is an absolutely incredible facility. It's something that I never thought I would see in Northeast Wisconsin, just because growing up in the Appleton area, I didn't get into cross-country skiing until I was about 16, 17 years old, because there really isn't a culture of it at all there. So to be able to have that there now is really special. And I've spent some time there, they're training. I know that they have lots of camps, and next year I hope to be doing more to really work with the local community to help them see what they have available there and to build a stronger Nordic cross-country skiing and biathlon community for right in Northeast Wisconsin.
That's really cool. If you build it, they will come, as they And let's hope we get lots more people involved in it. Richard in Two Rivers has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Richard.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for taking the call. I drove out to Arians to look at the facility about a month ago, and had a very nice visit with the receptionist. And I was interested in doing it, but I have traditional cross-country skis, and she said, no, they generally do the skate skiing in the competitions and using the facility. So I kind of left thinking, you know, now I got to go out and buy all new ski equipment if I want to start the biathlon. Is that how it works?
Yeah. What's the technique? Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. So right now in all of our races, we do use skate skis. That's just kind of what biathlon has transferred to. Back in the day, they did do the more traditional style, which is also called classic skiing. We do use classic skis for training at times, so it's not unheard of. And you can definitely try biathlon using classic skis. That's not really a hindrance, unless you're using what they call a clister, which is like a super sticky type of kick wax. The only reason why you wouldn't want to use that is because if you tried standing shooting and you were standing on the shooting mats with clister, you would get clister on the mats, and that would just become a messy situation. So it's not definitely unheard of, but I think the bigger thing with biathlon is you do need a biathlon rifle. So I think that would be the one item or one piece of equipment that you would need. But yeah, the hopefully in the future you have an opportunity where you can head back to Aaron's, sign up for one of their triathlons, and get behind the rifle and see try your hand at biathlon.
Yeah, and what are those rifles? It's not like the 30-06 deer rifle that a guy might take or a gal might take deer hunting.
No. So they don't use big bore rifles anymore. That's a thing of the past. We just use a 22 long rifle. Pretty much everybody uses the same manufacturer, Anschutz Fortner, with a slide action. It's just kind of the standard that everybody uses. And then the stocks in which the action and barrel go onto are where the customization comes from. Every athlete is going to have theirs a little bit different, not only based on their shooting position style, but also just anatomy. My cheekbones are going to be a lot different than someone else's. Therefore, my cheek piece is going to be in a different spot. My arms, my hands might be a different size. So they are something that every athlete has to invest in. Every athlete has to buy their rifle, get their stock, and they cost the action and barrel cost about $3,000, and then the entire setup with the harness, the stock, the sights, everything else, it's probably about a $5,000 investment plus or more when it's all said and done.
And with the World Cup races, I mean, those are. Are they considered professional races? John wants to know. And you know, where you could win some money if you win the race.
Yeah, no, they're definitely a professional. It's professional racing with lots of prize money involved. So the International Biathlon Union has done a really great job of promoting the sport, and also have quite a bit of money because of the broadcasting deals and everything that they've set in place. So this year they just upped the prize money again. So for a standard World Cup, and we have 9 World Cups every year, and each World Cup has 3 to 4 races. So there's quite a bit of racing, and then at each race they pay out for the top 30, and the winner I think gets $15,000 for every win, and then goes down from there. So yeah, the top guys are making a lot of and women the what's really cool about biathlon is the women's side of the sport is just as popular, sometimes even more popular than the men's side. It's just as exciting. And they get paid the exact same as men in all of their prize money. But yeah, there's a lot at stake. And so it's definitely a high level competitive sport.
And it's fun to watch. Connie emailed to say she operated her family's cross country ski resort, the Olympia Sport Village in Upson, Wisconsin, that's near Hurley, which hosted the Olympic biathlon trials in the 1960s. So she said, so there, the sport has a long history in the state of Wisconsin as well. Chad, comment on that?
I didn't know that. I do know Upson, and I do remember the Olympia ski area when I was a kid. I was from the Iron Range in Minnesota, but we'd go race the first races of the season as a junior when I was 14, 15 years old. And I would race in Ironwood, and in there's Wolverine in Ironwood. There's a ski jump there, and then we'd race in Wakefield at Johnson's Trails, and we'd go through that. We'd go past that ski area every time. I had no idea that the Olympic Biathlon Trails were there in the 1960s. But that's a great piece of history.
It is indeed. And Chad Paul's the most successful skier to come out of St. Scholastica, I'm pretty sure. Do you point to Paul to inspire your other athletes there?
Absolutely. I'll make a point. I haven't been the ski coach in 10 years. I'm still the cross-country running coach there, but I'm next to the ski coach. Yeah, so we're very connected. We have had one other All-American since Paul left, so we still have very high-level skiers. But Paul still remains the Olympic athlete that came from our program still. And we do have an Olympic bronze medalist hockey player from St. Scholastica for women's hockey. It's from Switzerland.
Well, I tell you what, I want to thank you both for taking time to be with us. And Paul, especially 7 o'clock at night, you probably might have had better things to do, but I really appreciate the time that you took here today. And really, really, I'll be watching. You know, really good luck in the coming Olympics. When is the first event for you, by the way, in the last second here?
Yeah, so the first event for biathlon is on February 8th, the mixed relay. And there's a lot of races at the Olympics. I think there's 10 race days of the 14 days for the Olympics. And, yeah, really, really thankful to be here. And me and my teammates are going to do our best to give Chad something to be excited about.
Okay. Paul Schaumer and Chad Salmala, head coach for the – Paul's the head coach or was the head coach for Paul – as he worked on becoming a biathlete. And a big thanks to both Paul and Chad, and thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots more at Story here on WPR News.